Scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 10 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's actually read this together in unison. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. It's God's word. And before we asked David Oy to come up, I'd just like to introduce them a bit. David Oy was born in Malaysia, and if I'm not mistaken, he has a law degree from Oxford. Cambridge. I get those two mixed up. But so he has a law degree from Cambridge, and he has practiced law in Singapore as a barrister. Now, as I was preparing for this last night, I Googled barrister. And in my mind, a barrister is this dude with white wig and long robe, you know, a kind of lawyer kind of looking person in the old British system of law. And so it brought me to this Wikipedia entry, and I was reading through it, and I got really confused because the language that describes barrister and what the barrister does is quite technical. So there's actually a difference between a barrister and a I don't know what the other word.
Solicitor.
There you go. And I believe a barrister is a person who actually go to a higher court in a court system, and the barrister doesn't actually represent the client or doesn't appeal on the behalf of the client directly. But maybe David can tell you a bit more about what a barrister does. But as you know, Singapore is under the British system, and of course he was a barrister there. And he attended seminary at Columbia International University, where our own Sam Lin is right now, and where George Murray is the chancellor, and he was our speaker a couple of weeks ago. David and his wife has been in Cambodia since 2000, and his primary work includes church planting and leadership development of the Cambodian university students. He directs Crossroads, a church planting ministry in Phnom Penh, the capital of that country, and our own short-term missions team was there last summer. Well, this summer, excuse me. Our own Eric Hahn, who's back, got back on Monday. He spent 2 months there serving with David Oy, and David and his wife Moon Jung have two kids. And so with that, I'd like to welcome David Oy and to deliver the message to us this morning.
Thank you, sir. You know, as a barrister, we say that we can forgive all your sin, but if you confuse Oxford and Cambridge, that's unpardonable. But also as a barrister, you know why there's a barrister? Because we still live in the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, there's this high priest. But in the New Testament, this structure is abandoned, is wiped out, and there's only every one of us who are priests. But we still want to be privileged, and we call ourselves barrister, and we disconnect ourselves from the whole world. But again, you know, talking about living in the modern world, I had a short time with Pastor Wilson this morning, and I was happy that we both got this connection. We spoke about our calling, and then we found out that, you know, we are pretty similar. Similar in the sense that we are serving the young congregation members, the postmodern world, but in a very old museum, the Chinese church. And because of that, we found ourselves playing a role of a bridge. That is the best picture we can see, you know, bridging the younger society, younger world with our former generation, our older generation. And that has been challenging because, you know, this bridge is prone to collapse. And many times, people like Pastor Wilson and myself, we have to reconstruct this bridge again because the struggle is not between the older generation and the younger generation, but the struggle is really the personal struggle in our life. And that will bring us to our mind, or I hope that will bring us all together again to think about what is this kingdom all about, what is the world all about, what is our life all about, and what is our calling about. You know, we strive in a very hustle-bustle world. We are so busy in our life. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a very traumatic 10 days because I was with Eric in this deepest part of jungle, and then I came out into Phnom Penh City, and I came out to Incheon City in Korea, and then I came to New York City. And then I was thinking for a while, wow, that is too much to take. And for once, I thought I was aging, but you know, it's not just about aging, but it's about these tremendous changes that I've been going back and forth, that I asked myself, where am I exactly? Where am I exactly? Where are you exactly? Where are you right now exactly? My son, he loved bus. And, you know, we live in Phnom Penh, so there were not many great buses. But when we came to Malaysia and Singapore, he saw this double-decker bus, and he just, you know, he just had to go on the bus. So, he said, Daddy, take me to a double-decker bus. I need to go on a double-decker bus. So when we went to Singapore, I didn't take him to go to the famous places, tourist sites, but we just rode on the bus for just 15 minutes, and he had that smiling face in him. But when we came to state this time, he had to stop before a school bus. You know, when the school bus stops, everybody has to stop, right? I didn't know that. But then, my son said, you know, Daddy, I don't like school bus. I don't like bus in America. I said, why? Because, you know, we have to stop. We have to wait for the bus. That's not nice. I'm going to teach him about safety and, you know, the daddy talk goes on. But here you have a scenario. Here you have a situation where, you know, we like to think of the world surrounding us for our benefit. In our own perspective, we want everything to work for us, in line with us, synchronizing with our thoughts, with what we desire. But the reality is that, you know, there's more people out there. There are billions of people out there that we need to focus upon them as well. In fact, more important than us. If you talk about majority rule, you're just one person, but there are more than 6 billion people out there. So, which is the greater rule? The majority rule will say that, you know, you got to follow the 6 million people, not yourself. In the Bible, there's a rich young ruler, and you know, he came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus knew that he knew all the commandments. He knew basically all the word of God. And Jesus said upon him, sell all you have. And we all know the young ruler feeling very overwhelmed, and he decided to walk away. I'll be curious to see if he's still in heaven. But then there's another passage that said this man, he went to the desert and he found a treasure. And he quickly went back to his home and sold all that he had and went to buy that little piece of land in the desert that nobody wanted. I'm sure his neighbors must have mocked him and bemused him. For that was a foolish act in the eyes of many people. But here you have a question, why somebody can sell everything, why somebody couldn't even give a single cent in his life. There's a passage that I was very curious as a as a young minister, it says that those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Why? Why those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy? And I got this opportunity to live with this African brother when I was in my college. And he was from Nigeria. So you have a Nigerian barrister. And he was a son of a tribesman, and he has got this scar on his face, these three lines on his face. And I tell you, at night you spook her. But then he explained to me this passage. He happened to be a Christian, by the way. He told me that, you know, my friend, in Africa, you know, those people were so poor. They harvest so little. But with the little that they have, and they knew that they didn't have enough to eat, and yet they need to set aside some of those seed that they have harvested to sow in order that they will have something to eat next year. So they sow in tears. They are afraid that it may all be lost. What if there's no rain? What if there's overpouring rain that flooded the field that will kill the crops? So they waited. They sowed in tears and they waited in pain. For much of their life they struggled. But the day come, the day shall come when the harvest is there, they will go reaping, and they reap with joy when they see that everything is happening and they are going to have something to eat for the next year. What does that tell us? What is life all about? We worry for our future. We count our cost. We plan for ourselves. And many times, have you wondered, what is life all about? In the passage that we read, he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. We all desire Jesus' righteousness. We all desire to worship Him. We all desire to be the Father. We are called to obedience and we are called to be faithful in our life. We all know too well that everything that we have today is from our Father. We all know too well that He is the provider of all our resources. And He is not just merely the provider of all your resources, but He's saying here that He is here to make you very rich. He's giving you this seed. In fact, it's not just one seed, but He's going to give you a warehouse of seeds. So much. Because His desire and His intention was to prosper you. He wants to make you so rich. Why? Because He is a giver. He is a lover. He is a person who knows what is sacrifice. And He wants His children to be like Him. Like Father, like Son. And He knew that we couldn't give. He knew that we, because of sin, were self-centered. And therefore, by the sovereign will, He's going to give us this seed. Not that we deserve this seed, not that we can earn or merit all the seeds, but He's giving us continuously to make us rich. That why? Why? So that we can be generous. We can be a giver. Because our calling is, we are going to be a giver. We are going to be a blessor. We have been blessed. We are going to be a blessing to other people. We need to give other people. And that's why our Father will make us rich. That we will be so generous. That we'll be blessing the people around us. And not only that. And this is the amazing sovereign plan of God. When we are able to give to the people, the people in Cambodia, the people in China, the people in Afghanistan, the people in Africa, the people that need it, they have nothing, or they have so little, they're in poverty. So when they receive this, they will know that God is blessing them. They will know that God is loving them. They will know that God cares for them. And therefore, when we are able to give them, these people will come together and give thanks to God. God will get the glory that He deserves. God will get the glory that He deserves. But not only God gets the glory that He deserves, and there's one thing. We who receive that seed, we whom God intended to make us generous, we will realize that, hey, I'm self-centered. Hey, I didn't have enough. But why? Why was it that I was able to give my neighbor? Why is it that I was able to give the people in a third world country? Why suddenly I was able to bless the people in Africa? And we realize that this is grace. We're not able to. We're unable. But He enables us. He makes us able. He's able to do much more than we can ask. He's able to do much more than we can ever imagine. Because He has given us the power in our life. The abundant life. You know, in the Bible, when we receive those benediction, for example, those in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, He's able to give us the power, and He's already given us the power in us. You know what kind of power? That is the same power that God used to raise Jesus from death. And you imagine that superpower, that amazing power, He has laid it in our lives. Hey, we are going to be like Jesus. The Bible says, we shall be like Jesus. We shall be like Jesus. You know, when the Word of God gives us a great commission, you know, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to us. That is the power of resurrection. That we have the power of resurrection. That we can go and bless people around us. I'm going to use a passage in the Bible to make application of what we've talked about. We all know the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. We know that in this story, this young son came and asked from the father even before he was legally entitled to. So, daddy, give me my portion of my inheritance. And the daddy gave him what he deserved, probably 50% of what he had. And he took away everything and basically he squandered everything. And then he was suffering, there was a famine, and he had nothing to eat. Even the slave lived a better life than he had. And if you remember, he said, you know, oh, I wish I can be like that pig to eat the pig's food, the pig's feeding. And he came back home, and the father saw him from far. The father ran to him, hugged him, put a new robe on him, gave him a new pair of sandals, and then ordered his two servants, go slaughter bulls and let's have a feast. Let's call for a celebration. But then the older son came by and, what's going on? Oh, and the servant told the son, you know, hey, you know, your younger brother's back. What? And your daddy said, slaughter two bulls. So we did. What? So I'm going to use this parable. But as you see, this parable is set in the context of how to follow Jesus. If you see the background of this passage, the people struggled to follow Jesus. They couldn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And the Pharisees particularly, they couldn't put down themselves to submit themselves to Jesus. And then Jesus said, you know, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and lift up your cross daily and follow me. And I shared with the college group on Friday, you know, the meaning of bearing the cross is that we must die to ourselves. Because at that time in the Roman Empire, what happened was that it was the criminals who were supposed to be executed in due course. They had to lift the cross and be paraded in the city to be shamed, to be mocked. And they knew that in just a moment, they will be executed. They will die. And so Jesus said, you know, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You must bear your cross. And that means we must be ready to die. Short of that, we cannot follow Jesus. Man, who would follow Jesus? And I remember, when I read this history book of the early church, the people who knew that there was a house, that there was believers, and the people who were very curious of the house, the love that they share, the care of the people, the uniqueness of their life. You know, this stranger knew that the police, the soldiers, were already hiding somewhere. And the moment this guy went to the door and knocked the door, the police will have their eyes on them, and the next moment, they will be blacklisted as well. Because Apostle Paul, and before that he was Saul, he would lead a group of people to kill all these Christians. So when they knocked at the door of this so-called church, it's a big decision in their life. Greater than who to marry, what profession should I pursue, which school shall I go to, which mission field shall I go to, how much shall I give. A struggle, it's a big time struggle. So I'm going to use this parable to give us 3 points of application, and I'm going to end my message already. Isn't that great? And we need to make 3 paradigm shifts here through this passage. I'm going to use each character in this parable to make each one application each. From the son basically took his possession before he was entitled to legally, and he squandered off everything. And the first paradigm shift that we need to make today, if we want to engage in mission, if we are to follow Jesus, is that we need to move from living in illusion to reality. We need to move from illusion to reality. The fact is that we live in illusion. We live in a world thinking it is for me, it's all about me. And we know that it's all about God, but we still live as though everything is for me. We live in illusion because we live with the father of illusion. Who is the father of illusion? Satan is the father of illusion. You know why he's the father of illusion? He's the most foolish man because, you know, he thought that when he had Jesus on the cross, he would have the victory. But little that he knew, because he was in illusion, that when Jesus died, God gained the victory. We are in illusion. We're in illusion because we think that everything's all about ourselves. What is some illusion in your life? What is some illusion in our ministry? You know, very often we ask that, God, help me to be more loving. God, help me to love my neighbor. Oh God, I know this person, I didn't like him. God, help me to love him or love her. The next moment you see the most ugliest person come next to you. Oh God, this is too bad, too ugly, I cannot take it. But God called us to love them and we want to love them. Hey, and here you are. God give you the reality. Love them and walk away. Many people came to me and talked about missions. Many people came to me and talked about truth. But how many people actually turn away? How many people actually turn away? Because this is really tough. This is really hard. You know, in ministry, in mission, John Piper said it very well. Today, we have missions because we have yet to really worship. The day shall come when we all truly worship. And that's when the mission ends. So, we are in this mission. You know, in life, everybody starts from the equal footing. Everybody has got one mission. No matter where you are, how old you are, the moment you are born into this world, you have one mission. And this mission is that you need to find God. Not just you need to find God, but you need to be conformed to be like Him. Have we found the true God? Have we found the Creator? And above all, the person who knew us before even we were created. The person who loved us so much that He will even send His most beloved one to die for us. Have we found Him yet? Have you fallen in love with Him? You know, I am always amazed with this love. Because, you know, I use like blue color. I'm still wearing blue today because this is a very old shirt I'm wearing. But then when I met my wife, at that time my girlfriend, and she's an artist. And you know, artists, they're very funky people. And you know what? Suddenly, when I got married, and, well, not suddenly, but actually we caught up for some time, and then we got married really, you know, willingly, lovingly. But when I opened my wardrobe, you know what? I found brown pants, green shirts, nothing blue at all. I realized that when I fell in love with somebody, not just my appearance, but my inner self changed. And my inner self caused the appearance to change. That's love. You see, we need to really change our inside, that our appearance will change. Because when you change your inside, when you're being transformed, your inside, you're moving away from illusion into reality. You know, ministry is very, very, I would say, fun. I would say very interesting, simply because I've got no word to describe it. Because you know what? Sometimes I felt that ministry is very painful. I'm glad that, you know, you guys did that appreciation to Pastor Wilson. By the way, can you bring it to Cambodia as well? But you know what? You know, when we do ministry, when you're in ministry, you think that you're creating God's kingdom, you're expanding God's kingdom. And very time, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought I was the greatest hero. You know why I became a lawyer instead of going to the Bible school initially? Because I want to make more money, and more money to feed all these people in poverty, people who have been sold into prostitution. I want to redeem them. I want to give them a free life. So I earn a lot of money. I want to be a superhero. I thought I'd do great work for God. But you know what? Ministry is not about doing great work for God, because God is the work. God is doing His work. But we are just a person who come alongside God to ask for that little place. God, would you let me just join you a little bit? You look into the life of Paul. What is ministry all about? Now, he was the greatest missionary ever. He had got no mentor. The Holy Spirit was his only mentor. He didn't go to seminary. But the mission field is the seminary. He learned from his mistake. And when he was called, it was glorious. My goodness, this guy was blind for 3 days. And then he was restored when Ananias came and laid hand on him. And then when he was the super apostle, he saw Peter, who was supposedly his senior. Peter was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. Remember that? And what did he do? Paul came in. Hey, Peter! What are you doing? Because Peter, when he saw Paul coming, Peter quickly disassociated himself from the Gentiles. So Paul was very angry with the hypocrisy that he saw in Peter. He rebuked Peter on the spot. Imagine how embarrassed this guy is. But then, when he grew older in ministry, he proclaimed to the whole world, I'm the least of the apostle. I'm the least of the apostle. And when he was in a jail, just before he passed away, he said to the whole world, I am the worst of the sinners. That set me to think, what is ministry all about? That set me to think, what is mission all about? That set me to think, what is life all about? I need to get away from my illusion. I need to move into reality. You know what? We think that the most equipped people is most qualified to be his servant. We always want to make sure that we are well equipped, we choose the best person, and we impose requirements. We are very selective in who we want to send to do God's work. But you know what? Here's another illusion. Jesus always chooses the wrong people. The people that think that they are least deserved, they are not worthy, they are not qualified, Jesus chooses them. So you better raise your hand and say, I'm going to Cambodia with you, David. Next week, I'm going there. Next week, I'm going to buy my ticket this afternoon. If you think that you're not going, you think you're not good enough, well, obviously, you're in illusion because Jesus didn't call you. The reality is he wants you. Look at the fishermen. There were crowds, multitudes. Who did Jesus choose? Not the lawyers, not the doctors. And we have these medical teams going to Cambodia. We got this expert in law going to Cambodia. But Jesus chose the fishermen. Nothing spectacular about them. Jesus chose the tax collector, the most corrupted man. How about that? Jesus chose the deacons who fought among themselves. You know Simon the Zealot? You know, he's the typical IJM person. Right? Justice for mission. And then you have Matthew, the tax collector, who is a traitor. So you can imagine, they fought in the church all the time. One is a traitor, one is a patriotic Jewish. They cannot see eye to eye. But they have to live together with the 3.5 years when they were with Jesus. The second paradigm shift, we look at the father in the parable. He gave, even though he was not obliged to. And when the son came back, he still gave. He gave a new robe. He gave a new pair of sandals. He gave recognition. He gave him, restore him the status. And he's still giving. The second paradigm shift that we need to make as we want to follow Jesus, as we are struggling to follow Jesus, is we need to move from merely receiving to giving. We, sometime, some point down in the road, needs to stop receiving, but we need to give. Blessed is the giver. Blessed one is the giver, sorry. The person who gives is always the blessed one. And it's hard to give. It's hard to give in a world that we are so compressed, and in a world that we are living in a survival mode. It's hard. But you know, in life, the reality is we need to give some point in time, sometime down the road. The sooner you can give, the better, the more quality, the more appreciated you shall be, the more blessing you shall receive. You know, the problem with us is we are all like a bottle of water. You know, when I preach in Cambodia, I love to use illustration. So I'm going to do some here as well. You know, imagine if this bottle is full, all right? This bottle is full. You know, can you fill more water in this bottle, into the bottle? You cannot. You cannot. Imagine you make this bottle water, which is full, black, so you pour coffee into this water, into this bottle, right? So this, it will take a long time. You probably will not change the water into black color. But what is the easiest way to make sure that this bottle is black in color? The water is black in color. You need to pour out the water. Can I pour here? Ooh. I won't be invited again next year. So let's save that, right, John? So we drink it. We finish it. And then we pour the black water in. So you need to pour out first. Then you can refill with the black color. What I'm trying to say is, when you want to be more blessed, when you want to be a greater person, you need to empty yourself. You need to stop receiving, but you need to pour out first. Because you see, you couldn't receive because full already. You couldn't receive. So you need to pour out to empty yourself. So as you pour out, you actually receive more. And that's the meaning of abundant life. You got more. But we need to move from merely receiving to giving. I'm not talking about giving money. Yeah, you should be giving money. You just made your pledge, or you have not made your pledge for your mission month. Please do your pledge accordingly. But, you know, we're talking about giving your time. Your time is something very precious. We all know that. We live in Jersey, near to New York City. You know, if you give somebody 1 hour, that means your life is, for yourself, cut short by 1 hour. You cannot turn back the clock. So that's precious when you give time. I think we live in a very broken world. We need to give comfort to people. We need to give encouragement to people. We need to give listening ear to people. We need to give. Because life is about giving. And that's why you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God has designed in a way and His sovereign will that He's to give you. He gives you that first seed. Not just the first seed, but He's going to give you to be your warehouse, your store is going to be so filled with all the seeds. Because the purpose is He wants you to be generous. He wants you to be more than a mere giver. Because He wants to love you. He wants to bless you. And we need to start to give, not fearing that we do not have enough. Not fearing that we will have less than them. Because the promise here, if you were to believe it, if you were to move from illusion to reality, is that as you give, you will be given more. As you give, you'll be given more. At a crossroad in Cambodia, the students, by the third year, you know, they have to study a lot. They are very busy people, just like you too. So don't think that, you know, don't live in illusion that, oh, they are third world countries, so, you know, they are not so busy, or their life is not so important, money is more important. That's the illusion. But the reality is, they are equally busy that with you, just like you. If not, they are even more busier than you, because they have to make their own money for living, not just going to school. But these people, by the third year, the student, they will go out to plant a church. What about that? That's exciting. When they plant a church, they're giving their lives to the new student. They're giving their time to the new student. And they found more meaning in their life. And you know what? I found that when they are a church planter, when they are a good leader who cares for people, who sacrifices for people, these are the people who usually find a job when they graduate. It's not about their degree, because their degree is just a mere piece of paper. But they find job easily, because when they were interviewed by these corporate people, these corporate people will see that these people is relational. These people got that life skill. These people knows what is management. These people is generous people. These people is a giving, caring people. I would like these people to be my employee. So they found job. You know, many people ask me, you know, was it hard to give up your profession to be a missionary? You know, initially it was hard, but then after 10 years or more than 10 years now, I found that I'm very wealthy. I'm very wealthy indeed, because you know what? In my life, there's so many stories. I know so many stories that I'm so rich today. My experience in life is so rich despite I'm so young. I'm not past 40 yet. I'm still young. But I think I have the experience because I've been a giver. I've learned to be a giver. Well, I'm learning to be a giver, as a matter of fact. But we need to make this important paradigm shift from receiving to giving. The third one, we look at the older brother. He came back from the field and he complained, "What? You slaughtered another bull? What, daddy, you give more to this useless son?" The paradigm shift that we need to make here is we need to move from complaining to celebrating. You know, we sin, we struggle with sin, we struggle with temptation today. And guess what? If you were to think about it, the moment you start complaining, that's when you fall into temptation, and that's where sin eats you up. You know, we need to stop complaining. Don't be a crybaby anymore. Grow up. Not just grow up, but let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. And the Bible gives us a very good reason to celebrate. You know what? In the parable of the prodigal son, then the father told the older son one line. You know what? You know why you're complaining? You know why you're not able to celebrate? Hey, listen to this, my son. All I have is yours. All I have is yours. Stop complaining. Let's celebrate. All I have is yours. The Father's, all the Father has is yours. I'm a rich man today. I'm a wealthy man today. I can be a great blessing today because all that the Father has, all the authority, all the power that He has is mine. As a matter of fact, the power is residing in me. The power of resurrection is in my life that I can go out to give to the other people around me. Friends, let's remember this. Let's move from illusion into reality. Let's move from merely receiving to giving. And finally, let's move. Let's stop complaining and let's move. Let's develop and let's celebrate, because all that He has is ours. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. And I just ask that God, You not just allow us to be a listener of Your word, but to truly be a doer of Your word. Father, may we go forth to celebrate Your kingdom, to celebrate the life, the wonderful blessing that we have received. In Jesus' name we pray.